Sometimes the anticipation of something is much worse than the thing itself ever could be. Amen? Especially as a young person, but even now, I sometimes find myself spending time worrying about what could be by painting the worst scenarios possible in the build-up to something. You know the feeling, right? There is that social gathering on the calendar that you know you need to attend, but you are thinking you probably had a better time at your last dentist appointment than you will at this thing. Right? Or you have a difficult conversation to have with someone important in your life, and all the possible outcomes you can manufacture in your mind end up, well, not so great. Or perhaps you have had some persistent medical symptoms and you just keep holding off making that doctor's appointment because you suspect that you are going to find out the very worst about what could be. It's called fear. By definition, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined. Fear keeps us from taking action, from using the gifts that God has given us, and from carrying out our God-given mission in life. God has a simple answer for all our fears. And God speaks that answer to us over and over again in the Scriptures. And He spoke it to Moses in this passage we encountered today. Fear not, I am with you. God says. Exodus is a story within a saga, the story of Moses and the nation of Israel being brought up out of slavery in Egypt and delivered to the promised land. The story is one of unlikely provision after unlikely provision from God. It is the story of a man named Moses and a people called Israel, the story of the birth of a new nation, the nation promised to Abraham and Isaac. Exodus is a chapter in the saga that we continue to live today, a saga of covenant between God and the people of God. How many of you, when you read Scripture, place yourself in the ongoing telling of God's story? It doesn't end with Revelation. The story that captured the canonized Scripture ends there, but the Scriptures are a telling of God's story with God's people. And as God's people, we are characters in that ongoing story. It's a humbling place to be. But it's a place we have to find ourselves as God's future rolls out before us. Moses is born a Hebrew slave in a time when Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, feared the prophecy of a deliverer being raised up from within the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people had been enslaved in Egypt for more than 400 years. And if a deliverer rises up among the slaves and leads them out of captivity, it's a problem for the Egyptian economy, isn't it? Pharaoh has ordered the killing of all Hebrew boys to prevent this prophecy from coming to pass. In order to spare her child, Moses' mother and sister devise a plan. They place Moses in a basket and float him down the river just at the time when Pharaoh's sister would be in the river bathing. Moses is then raised in the household of the Pharaoh himself, the adopted son of Pharaoh's sister. As a young man, Moses learns of his true identity, is cast out of Egypt, and finds himself in Midian. He is given Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, in marriage and has a son. Far from home, but more or less settled into this new life, Moses has an encounter with God that will change his life and the course of human history. This is where we picked up the story this morning in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is grazing the herds at Horeb, or Sinai, the mountain of God, While on the mountain, Moses sees a bush that is burning but not being consumed by the fire. When he approached the bush to get a closer look, he hears a voice telling him not to approach the bush, to remove his sandals, for he is on holy ground. Needless to say, the voice of God coming from a burning bush has Moses' full attention. Wouldn't it yours? Then comes the dialogue between God and Moses, where God tells Moses that he is the prophesied deliverer that Pharaoh feared. He is the man who he will send to Egypt to free the people Israel. Moses is so excited and flattered and overjoyed at the prospect of saving God's people. He jumps up and he runs back to Egypt and he does just what God tells him to do, right? Are you listening? Yeah, that's not how the story goes. I was just making sure you were paying attention. Right? This place in the story where Moses stops in his tracks, where Moses says, wait, hold on. This is the point in the story I want to focus on today. The point where Moses hears from God and does what we all do. He doubts. He dreads. He fears, and he makes excuses. The Bible is full of individual stories about individual people who are representative of all humankind. God knows how we are wired because God did the wiring. God is not surprised by our reluctance. Along with the knowledge of good and evil we picked up in the garden with Adam and Eve, we picked up some other great side effects: skepticism, worry, fear, dread, selfishness, obstinance, resistance, defiance. You catching the theme? And that's just to name a few of the things that make us human. But as we encounter the effects of sin in the world, we learn to fear the things that we don't know. We've learned not to trust. We've learned to allow fear to get in our way. In place of the trust that Adam and Eve had to walk daily with God in the warm sun of the afternoon, humankind has adopted a sense and an attitude of fear and mistrust. Remember, God's simple answer to our fear is and always has been, fear not, for I am with you. God's answer to all of Moses' excuses is the same, I will be with you. It's okay. There on Mount Horeb, God more than calls out to Moses, God calls Moses. Out of the burning bush, God tells Moses why he is here, what he is supposed to do, and how he is supposed to do it. We don't all have quite a clear message from God, but we all have a call on our lives to carry out that which God has created us to do. Call is generally something bigger than we can imagine ourselves doing, something beyond ourselves and not for ourselves. And like Moses, we all have a list of reasons why we either cannot or will not follow. Fear causes us to focus on our human limitations when God is calling us to rely on God's unlimited provision in our lives. Fear makes us reluctant because we cannot see beyond the barriers in our lives to the vision that God is casting for us. I think in some ways fear casts our vision downward. If we kept our heads up and trusted that God was in the future, that God had in store for us, we didn't focus on our fear, we could see beyond the fear, knowing that no matter what we're facing ahead of us, that God will be there with us. Fear makes us reluctant because we cannot see. I just did that. God's answer to our fear remains the same. I will be with you, God has promised. In retrospect, God has been building up this moment since Moses' birth. long before that, actually, but what other Hebrew slave would have had access to Pharaoh? Moses grew up as Ramses' cousin. They played together as boys. They trained together to lead the Egyptian armies and to succeed Pharaoh in building the Egyptian empire. It was Ramses' father who cast Moses out of Egypt, and Ramses who knew the man Moses really was. Moses and Ramses were in relationship together, one heart to another heart. They knew each other. What better Hebrew slave than Moses to be in the company of Pharaoh, to ask what God is asking? God had orchestrated this plan all along, and now Moses is being called to assume his place in God's story. Isn't that the case for all of us, too? Isn't that what it means to be called? Aren't we all at some point called to take our place in God's story and to realize that our place isn't necessarily that place that we would choose, but the place where our gifts, the gifts that we have been given, can be used of God to serve a purpose greater than ourselves? And the cool thing about this is that in our place in God's story, when we hear God calling and we answer, that is the place where we find the greatest fulfillment. Now, I'm pretty sure none of us is going to be called to lead the Hebrew people out of oppression and slavery in Egypt. That ship has sailed. That job is done. That call has been fulfilled. But there are all kinds of God's people suffering from all kinds of oppression in all kinds of situations in the world today. And we might be called to help with some of those. We might hear God calling us to serve in ministry in ways that help us free the oppressed from poverty, from homelessness, from hunger, and abuses, both individual and systemic. We might hear God calling us to use the gifts and resources that we have been given to do things that are greater than ourselves and beyond what we might have imagined for ourselves. We all know this to be true because this has been the repeating theme in God's call for God's people for all time. God's story is one of covenant, redemption, release, and freedom. And all of us have a place in that story. All of us have a function to carry out, a mission for which we were created and called to this place at this time. Ours is but to listen, to hear, and to answer God's call to the best of our abilities without fear. We often focus on Moses and his resistance to God's call when we encounter this passage, but what about God's persistence in the story? God did not let Moses off the hook with any of his excuses. Who am I that I should go see Pharaoh? How do I know Pharaoh will even listen to me? How do I know that my own people will even listen to me if I go to see them? How do I know if anyone will follow me anywhere? And then he said, well, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak very clearly. Later in the story, he says to God, well, you can't mean me. I can't put two sentences together. God persisted in calling Moses because God had equipped Moses for this very thing, this very part of his history. To all of these questions born out of fear, God's answer is simple. I will be with you. I know about this resistance to God's call firsthand. I heard God calling me personally into ministry full time for 7 years before I moved. 7 years before I would commit to doing this thing because it was scary. And the list of excuses was probably something you can relate more to than what Moses was relating to. My list of excuses was, but God, I have this great job. I'm providing for my family in such great ways. How could I leave that? Or I have this big house that I'm paying for, and I don't have a buyer for that house. I can't leave until I get someone to purchase this house. And the truth of the matter is that, kind of like Jonah, in the midst of this call, we bought a bigger house. We made a bigger commitment to things in the middle of it, thinking, if I do this, God will leave me alone. Ha! God is more persistent than my list of excuses can exhaust. And when we moved, when we accepted God's call to move into ministry, God blessed us in so many ways. God's promise to be with us has never failed us in our years in ministry. Truth be known, had never failed me in the years before I even acknowledged it. God is good for this promise. God's answer to our fear and our reluctance is simple, and it's the same as it has been throughout history. I will be with you. It is the answer that God gives Moses to give everyone that he will encounter on his journey to fulfill his call. To Pharaoh, Moses says, "The God of Israel is with me." To the Hebrew people, Moses says, "It is I am who has sent me, and the God of Abraham and Isaac and the God of Jacob who has sent me to you. God has sent me and promised to be with me," Moses says. It is not Moses the people listen to, but the voice of God through Moses that convinces them to do what God is calling them to do. We are all called. We all have long lists of excuses for why we cannot go. But I can tell you that God's persistence will eventually exhaust that list. I can also tell you that God has an answer for every notion of reluctance, and that answer has not changed for all time. I will be with you. Today is a special day in the life of God's church, a day to which we have all been called. You are here at this time, in this place, at this juncture in the history of the United Methodist Church in Battle Creek for a reason. God has called you here to this place and this time. To what voice will we listen today? The one of fear? The one that resists change? The one that's uncomfortable with what they don't know? Or will we listen to the repeating voice of God that continues to say to us, I will be with you? I invite the praise team to come back forward as we close this message in prayer. To what voice are we listening today? The voice of fear? Or the voice that calls us beyond our fear to something greater than ourselves, something outside ourselves, something only God can do. Pray with me. Dear God, on this day we ask, Lord, that you would help us to continually keep our eyes up, looking beyond any fear in our lives. Help us, Lord, to lean into the call you have placed on our lives to do the next thing. Whatever that thing is, trusting and knowing that whatever it is that we're called to next, Lord, you will be with us. We pray this in all things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, who is God with us. Continued evidence of promises kept. In Jesus' name, amen.